Hey everybody, welcome back to Real Liberty Media. Doing a little bit of adjustment here and getting it all together. Had a little pre-tunication, some mountain music warm-up with Just Eating. She went on back into the hills of Kentucky, I reckon, and made up with Mountain Bushcrafters Alliance, CMBA. You can find them on over here on the YouTube, and I'll be looking for some more information to share at the end of this into the radio log on the blogcast, and sharing links in some of the music we played and listened to. Went through and we got Just Edie. He says, I got to play on Mountain Bushcrafters Alliance Sad Song Sunday, and they did a fine job. It was a real nice playlist, and I beat along and strummed some and with my butcher knife on my banjo, and helped them out. Let's see, where is Steve at? I'm going to start up with here. Well, let me get up to Steve here. Let me stop and pause. REO Speedwagon, Time For Me To Fly. We played that by request on the Freakers Ball last Friday night, which was the actually Balls to the Walls. Moosey was gone. The acoustic cover from Just Edie, REO Speedwagon. And I warmed up with that one right beginning. And I believe Edie just, she did that just to show me you could use one finger to make music. Well, one finger on one hand and what you use on the other down there where you're hitting the strings. Fine job, Edie. Now, I said earlier, I believe I got out on air, recorded in what's going to be the off-the-record. It'll be over in the Pondergander podcast player, but it won't go out anywhere to the other sites and YouTube whatnot. But I'll poke a link in there in the radio log where you can hear this first hour, the pre-tunication, I call it. And thanks for that right there. And I said during that chat while it was going on, Meister Brow said he was looking for that song. Just happened to be looking for that song. And there it come up a playing right here at Real Liberty Media. And there's not everybody's fan of REO, but I'll tell you what I'm a fan of, and that is of covers. And you do a fantastic job. A lot of times I think cover songs way better than the original, and I'll say so in this cover version from Just Edie as well. Edie Murphy, thank you. And she's out visiting family, and I hope you're having a great time. Love your music, and you and that old boy back there in Kentucky did a real, real fine job, and I appreciate it. Let's see here. Where is Steve? Here he is. Yep. Stephen Tolbert and River Drifting and Daryl Long on the song, If Only I Could Fly. And I left off a month. I told Edie, I said, my brother, he scolds me because I leave stuff sitting there laying around like that. Here this one is a month later. Well, anyways, dang, I got lost on another one of my channels and missed this. I'm loving what y'all are doing, Steve and Daryl Long. And they've got a lot of good music. Now, I'm going to tell you, like Just Edie and Daryl and Steve, these are and what Edie was saying there, how it's kind of like a gathering there, a home gathering. This is my favorite kind of music, is what y'all do. It's like sitting around with friends, and you know, you're not afraid to join in and sing no matter how bad you are. I was talking about me. Anyways, thank y'all for that fine music, every one of y'all. Let's see where I want to come to. I guess I want to open up this broadcast and talk to you about what's going on in the Bundy Ranch standoff. The trial was it was dismissed in last year, 2018, at February. Was it February or January? Sorry, it slipped my mind. But I'm going to call this, I think I'm going to call this Let's Talk Turtle or Turtle Talk. Anyways, it's the slow grind in the wheels of justice. And how does this all this work? Well, I wonder where I ought to start. I'm going to throw that notebook down. I wonder where to start. I feel like I ought to start way back when and walk forward on what the Bundy Ranch standoff was and what it is still today. And I think I'll for time's sake, I'm going to start in the 1970s in the Environmental Protection Agency and the Endangered Species Act. And then step it on up into where the Center for Biological Diversity filed lawsuit to have cattle removed, and they settle in Sioux. That's a non-governmental agency that really has a very strong strong power in the direction of governmental regulations in guiding that. So anyways, they come along and they bought out or run off every rancher there in southern Nevada. Out of 50-odd ranchers, Clive and Bundy was the last rancher standing. He decided to withdraw from the Bureau of Land Management and do his own taking care of the cows. As the Bureau of Land Management, there's the public domain and public lands issue behind the woodshed with Hal and Anthony here every Sunday at Real Liberty Media, noon o'clock out on the left coast there in the Pacific side of the country. Tune in. And for an understanding of what's really going on in this land battles, and especially out west, it's more prevalent where federal government claims lays claim to just about most of the land out there available. And it is said to have should have been disposed of back to the state. That's where Clive Bundy stands. He says he doesn't have any problem paying fees to the right folks, in other words. Well, come along about 2014 in the spring, the Bureau of Land Management and the National Forest Service and some other federal agencies from the Bureau of, I'm sorry, the, I just brain farted. Anyway, so they all gather up to get these cows off the land and doing what was called a hard roundup. The agent in charge of the whole operation, Dan Love, he'd come about and been exposed as being a terrible feller, doing mean things and bragging about it, and even had a kill list going for all the folks out there. There were several thousand that showed up there in April 12th. And beforehand, started a little bit earlier when there was wanted to be an inspection done of this federal truck coming down out of the hills there. Turned out they tore up water lines and tanks that fed cattle, fed water to the cattle from springs up above. And about this here, how the turtle talk and how the water flows. Well, it goes down into places in the desert that normally won't have any water, and it benefits not only the cattle that graze, but the many other forms of wildlife as well. They said the cattle were harming the tortoise, trampling them, I guess. And I've covered this in shows past and show that the tortoise is benefited by the livestock from the cattle or sheep, as the tortoise is an opportunist and will eat a turd when it's available. And you might think that's funny, but it's really, really true. Study shows that the higher the concentration of cattle or livestock, the higher number of tortoises per you don't say tortoise, I don't reckon, per square mile. And plenty of examples of that where showing when, and hey, there's my friend out there. Blaze came to visit. He's outside. That's my friend's dog. Hey, come hawking by. Seen him. Oh, wait. Was that a squirrel? I was distracted. Thanks, Grams. Grammy. Still doing some radio here with Flash at Real Liberty Media. Now, where was I? That old tortoise. That's right. He's benefited by the cattle out there. So also when the cattle graze, they browse back on these bushes. And I'm going to tell you, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of square miles. You have some exceptions where you might want to fence off a small area to keep cows out. In the open range, they'll roam right through your yard and eat your grapevines or fig trees or anything else you got growing out there. Just that's the way it works out there. And you have a responsibility to fence them out. Yeah, time goes on by, time flies by, and civilization and modernization seems to be catching up or encroaching, one or the other, depending on your perspective. Well, there's Clive and Bundy's family, been out there for many, many a year, quite a bit, long decades. Raised a lot of children out there in Moapa, the Virgin River Valley, and it's right up next to the little Arizona Strip before you get into Utah, going up out of Las Vegas, about 80 miles up there at Bunkerville. It's really Riverside there, closer to where the Bundys are. And but cattle range there far and wide. And they come to work, round them up in a hard roundup, then run cows. They killed some of his best bulls and buried them. I called it the shoot, the kill, and cover up operation from headed by the good fellas and fine ladies at the notorious Dirty Dan, the BLM's agent of love, as he decided the best way to do this would probably be just to shoot them all, kill them, and cover it up. There was secret plans in my what I seen. Now, I was there in 2014. I was at the Bundy Ranch standoff, and was what it's called commonly, or the Battle of Bunkerville. And I went there to stand in the gap for as media to make a record. I was on the witness list for the trial, number 303, in the federal trial in Las Vegas that began in 2017. Three tiers. They split up defendants, what they called different severity and degree of what they charge with. Now, how they go about making these charges, you've got what's called superseding indictments, and just like the Center for Biological Diversity sue and settle the federal courts, even state courts, they offer the same sort of deal there. If you'll plead out, you'll get less time, and it won't cost you near as dear, right? And if you decide to fight it, the charges and the years just pile up. So what's going on? Is this anti-government? Well, no, they say anti-corrupt government or wrong government, or these people that have taken the power, these seats of decision that they occupy, and abuse that. And there's a lot more to be said on that. Now, where am I here? Okay, so they, Cliven says no, he's not paying fees. The standoff happens that, and then they go to court. Well, in between that, there was the Malheur Refuge in Oregon, Burns County. Thank you. Thank you, barman. Let me go click that, because it'll keep flashing. Yes, now on Real Liberty Media. Thank you, barman. Ponder Gander with Vincent Easley II, considering perspectives. The Bundy Ranch et al. That's the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth. I left out a period in there. Something. Yeah, State Appeals Judges Navarro's dismissal with prejudice. Yeah, I should have had of Ninth District. I think I truncated that there. Anyways, it'll do. I'm distracted. Let me go back. I'm going to pop over here to chat. All right, I'm back. Now, it goes along here, and like I said, I was out there in 2014. I was a witness for the trial when it came up. In between, there was the Malheur Wildlife occupation that concerned the Hammonds federal sentencing on an arson charge that it was a backfire. Anyways, longer story. The Hammonds, you can look into that as well. I try to keep a brief here, and then we go on back. Let's go back to Vegas and trial. So I'm there. I end up on the witness list. I'm also reporting for Real Liberty Media, live streaming. National Public Radio quoted me. Some other folks used my videos, and others talked about me in general, and some others without name. And I had the chance to see mainstream media firsthand and experience that. As a member of what I'll just call minor media. Me with my mouth. And well, when I was in 2014 in Bunkerville, somebody said, "What are you armed with?" I said, "My phone, my feet, and my voice." And that's how I went up armed, I reckon I'll call it. As time goes on, all the denials in court by the state prosecution of this and that, which I knew they were lying because I was there, and they denied having these cameras and basically targeting the Bundy home, shining shining down on them there with snipers. But all of this was denied by the prosecution. And it came out. It came out. And I'm going to tell you, Judge Navarro was no friend of the... Well, she was a friend of the court, I'd say, but no friend of the truth or justice. But even she had to concede. She dismissed the charges with prejudice, meaning that's a double jeopardy deal. That, you know, can't be brought back to trial. Let me go find J.J. McNabb here. That's Maxine Bernstein. She did a great job reporting. Here's J.J. This comes from, and it was filed the 1st of November. What's the date on here? And she, let's see, she posted this November 12, 2019, saying that after the Nevada federal judge dismissed the criminal charges against Cliven Bundy and his sons, also was included in that was the was Ryan Payne. And then also the next trial that was supposed to come out was the Tier 3, which included two more of Cliven's sons and a couple of fellers, Captain Mo and Micah. He took a plea. There's some other names. I covered all of them again. But anyways, let me go on here. The DOJ filed an appeal. It looks like oral arguments in that appellate case will be heard in March 2020. You'll be able to find this here in the radio log, all this. This was filed 11-1-2019. 104. This case is being considered for an upcoming oral argument calendar in Las Vegas. Please preview the Las Vegas sitting dates of March 20. If you have an unavoidable conflict on any of the dates, please file Form 32 within 3 business days of this notice using the CM/EFC filing type. Response to case being considered for oral argument. Please follow the form's instructions carefully. When setting your argument date, the court will try to work around unavoidable conflicts. The court is not able to accommodate mere scheduling preferences. You'll receive notice that your case has been assigned to a calendar approximately 10 weeks before the scheduled argument oral argument date. If the parties wish to discuss the settlement before an argument date is set, they should jointly request referral to the mediation unit by filing a letter within 3 business days of this notice. Lottie, lottie, lottie. File correspondence to court, subject request for mediation, and so forth. Let's see where it comes over here. This is, it comes off a Facebook page. And the following website, excuse me, is seditionist.com. This is a copy of CAA number 18-10287, D.CT.NO.2:16-CR-46-GMR. It is in the United States Court of Appeal in the Ninth Circuit. And it is the United States of America, the plaintiff, the appellate, versus Cliven D. Bundy, Ryan C. Bundy, Ammon E. Bundy, and Ryan W. Payne. So I wonder why they've not included Capno and the others that were in the Tier 3 trial scheduled for the 1st of 2018, which was subsequently dismissed as well. This is on appeal from the United States District Court of the Court for the District of Nevada. It's the government's reply brief. Comes from U.S. United States Attorney Nicholas A. Trutnich, Elizabeth O. White, Appellate Chief and Assistant U.S. Attorney, the AUSA. She replaced AUSA Stephen Myrie, who has previously had stuff kicked out on him for Brady violations and Giglio violations, failure to disclose exculpatory evidence. I see that there seems to be a pattern, and I didn't see much justice being sought in the courtroom, so I attended and reported. Hearing the table of contents, there's no way I'm going to attempt to read all this. I believe there's 44 pages, and I'll bring it for you to read yourself. I'll give you this table of contents. It's table of authorities is in Roman numeral V. Introduction, page 1. Reply argument, page 3. Let's see. Payne and Ammon Bundy concede maps were duplicative. They talk about some of these evidences of the that were said to be withheld, the exculpatory evidence not provided by the prosecution in a timely manner. Judge Umbaro said it was flagrant violations and disregard for justice, and if I might paraphrase her. Let's see, next. Now, I've not figured for sure if this is actually going to land here, but it appears to me, and I assume that it will. And from the United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit Court in 2020 court sessions, I think I'll agree with that. JJ probably has it figured out, knows a lot more about this stuff than I do, certainly. March 23rd to the 27th is the session will be in Las Vegas. I intend to go to Las Vegas for that. I think I can get into the courtroom. Where I originally got this information was brought to my attention, and I guess I'll leave that person's name off right now, but that person notified me and helped me and provided me with several of these links here that I have. Thank you for your help. You know who you are, and I will send you a message back in and let you know that I'm appreciative again of your help. Now, this was one of the things here that I guess I'll write it down now, and let me give a little explanation of, and I should have already wrote this down. I threaten to every time, but I never do. Poots and patties. What is a poots and a patty? This is for Doug. Let me answer your question. Now, the people of the anti-Bundy crowd use the term they call the Bundys and folks that stand with them as poots. And so I brought an acronym to that and countered and give them one of their own. So I'm Vinny the Poot, or Vinny the Poet sometimes, if you don't know it. And Patties, that'd be them, the opposing. So people opposing oppressive tyrants. Is a poot. Patty? People attempting to terminate individual entity sovereignty. Now that sounds like a very strong bunch of words coming out of the butt right here. The broadcaster broadcast using this tool, how I'm broadcasting the radio right now. But patties come and poots come from butts too. Talking back and make a little fun about the cows. In a way, cow patties and poots. Global warming cow poots will do it. Well, people have little different ideas of how we ought to go about addressing all this wild, wild west out there. Well, there's a war in the west, and it's going on. And there's two sides of fighting, and I guess some in the middle, standing in the gap, what I like to think. I find to engage all conversation and people, especially critics, because I want to subject myself, my own way of thinking, to criticism, and I don't know any other way better to do so than have some criticism. Let me have a drink of water. There's some good old mountain water right here, straight out of the ground. It's filtered out of about 50 foot of pipe up out of the ground and then horizontal to my drinking spot right there. Let's see where I'm at. Now, the court session, I figure they're going to have it in there, but that's what, 10 weeks to notify. So until there'll be a certainty of that, I guess, will be sometime come along up in the early part of 2020. Let's see, where is this? There's a YouTube channel. Let me just start closing some tabs here and back out of here. Well, there's a squirrel. That was me retweeting. Okay, let me close that. That is Steve Channel, and this is the Freaker's Ball podcast from last week, where we had some nice words for Edie. Just Edie, thanks for the music. Let me close out, back out, back out. And here is Mark Markowitz Law. That's going to come into play here. But before I get to there, let's see. One second. I think I might. Yeah, okay. I think I might be able to get away with playing this. Maybe I'll just pause the recording just in case we don't want to get a YouTube violation. Let me do that. I'm going to pause that. Then, wait a minute, before I do. This is a Todd Engel update from November 21st, 2019, from Warren Markowitz, Esquire. He's an attorney in Las Vegas. And I'll put this into the radio log where you can come back. If you're not listening live, you can come back and catch it then. Let me hit pause real quick. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Markowitz, Warren Markowitz, for Todd Engel. Now, my thinking is here, this is coming up for, these legal words, if I can remember. I'm going to have to go back to Twitter, change accounts again here, because Mrs. McNabb, I got snarky with her, and she blocked Vinny RLM, so I've got the Pondergander open today, and so let me log the Ponder out and go back to VNE under RLM radio. Yeah, I should have looked at her page a little bit closer before I got snarky with her, I reckon. I could probably maybe go ask her to unban me, but I don't know. Would she do that? Would she even take the time? I remember what I'm looking for here. Hey, thank you there. Dave Risky, that's my friend on Twitter. Gator Dude Dave. Aha. Now wait, okay. I gotta go over here to messages and this person. Thank you for all your help. Now, she told me, whoops, I didn't even gonna say that much. Presumably that first hearing, the fact that first hearing will be lawyers only. So I've still not figured out how all this works. Trying to figure it out. There's a lot of reading, and I've read a lot of this already before, and I didn't see anything about when the decision then is handed down. So there's 4 days, 23rd to 27th, 4 days of, that'd make a full week, actually, if you count, new math. She says that she doesn't really know how the U.S. appeals system works, though. Nor do I, and so I'm trying to figure it out more. And, this person here, thank you very much. You're doing a great job of communication. There's a lot of folks that, I made that classification of patties to in response to poots, but I do find that a lot of these people have become more willing for a discussion, and that's my point in ponderance right here is that we might have discussion no matter where we oppose one another in ideology. Notions and ideas and beliefs and expectations and how we might get along in this world where law, where rule is lawful and it's not used as a weapon and a tool by governmental agencies. So that's where I would describe myself as being in the gap, standing in the gap. And thank you to this person a great deal. Shared a lot of these links with me and it gave me, informed me of the fact because I've been real lazy on social media here, absolutely about almost nothing the last 2 weeks, and I knew that I already knew that this appeal had come up, and I discussed it in a previous broadcast, but it hadn't really been set. Now there was a lot of supposing, I guess, that I'd done in others, but we're still a little bit yet to determine about the hows and whys of what's going on here and when it will happen. Certainly, and what will happen. So, if they overturn it, they would then again, I guess, issue warrants for the Bundys and those others, and it that were dismissed with prejudice from Judge Gloria Navarro. And I don't know what the how that timetable works. When do they hand down their decision after hearing the oral arguments? I'm kind of thinking that they're not going to hand down decisions during that week, but maybe they'll have to go back. That's a lot of papers and stuff these judges got to read. They're required to read every bit of it. And other rules and stuff that I don't know about. Anyways, I don't know when the decision will be made. And if they do, will there would there be another standoff? It'd be interesting to know how many people would show up. Would the Bundys then surrender? And you know, what's the will the sheriff come out there? Will they send another army, you know, to lay siege? Or I don't know what will happen. This is going to be very interesting. I thought it was a great victory for justice that at least it was dismissed with prejudice. That means that they would not be able to be brought back to trial. The state argues that that should not be. And in that brief, you can read all about it. And so also, I think Todd Engel might end up in that same time frame there. I have also here a link, the uscourts.gov. It's a database of uploaded rules, Federal Rules of Appellate Procedure from the Ninth Circuit Rules, Circuit Advisory Committee Notes, and a preamble, and all of that. It's very, very long. I've read a great deal of this, and I did cover it in a previous broadcast. Like I said, a lot of supposition on my part. Law, legal is, I think, and purposely hard to understand. It's not plain spoken. I say law is peace, and it's settlement. Law is settled in peace is settled in law. Unfortunately. Legal's a little bit different, in my opinion. So that's the FRAP rules from the Ninth Circuit rules. Circuit Advisory Committee Notes, June the 1st of 2019. I have here, where are you? I have the YouTube channel for the Ninth Circuit, the videos. They live stream. So you know, were you not even able to make it to Vegas, you can watch it on YouTube while it's happening. I guess I'd like to be inside the courtroom myself when this happens and go back out to Vegas this next spring. And that I gather this information again from the Markowitz law firm there, his name, for the attorney for Todd Engel. So this is what I'm putting together. Let me see where I'm at. Yes, Warren Markowitz, the Federal Rules, what's this one here? Yep, this the YouTube channel for the Ninth Circuit. I got some other, whoops. Yeah, that got closed me out. I did a search here, oral arguments, and there's besides their YouTube, they start out on www.ca9.uscourts.gov media live oral arguments. And there's more information I got to search out here on how all this stuff works. I'm trying to figure out what the processes are. There's a couple of people I'll want to get in touch with. Warren, I sent him a Facebook request. See if I can't get it. It doesn't look like he's very active on there. I think I'll look for him on Twitter. But somebody I want to ask, and hopefully, I've got a lot of these tabs open from her. Hopefully that Maxine Bernstein will have be able to have time. I'd love for her to write a story on it. She writes for the Oregonian. But I'm going to ask her what the steps involved in this. I do have a few links that I'm not going to probably get into here that's open that I've pulled up off her Twitter account, one from the New York Times on domestic terrorism, Justice Department. Here is one from Oregonian Lives. The U.S. Senate confirms Washington County Judge Daniel Hunsaker for the Ninth Circuit. In a previous broadcast, I talked about the judges that would be presiding over this decision. And tentatively, I would say it looks good for the Bundys. Oh yeah, Sky Reeve. Let me go back over to Sky Reeve, the sheriff, on Twitter. Where is it at? Here we go. 16 hours ago. He says, of course, the current BLM head dude used to be the president of organization that runs that Pooty, remember the word Poot, Pooty website from 2017. I'm going to include this. Excuse me just a moment, please. I'm going to turn my volume down. Okay, turn that back up. Hey, that's my friend. Want to know if I wanted some biscuits and gravy and taters? Why, sure. Okay, this is the MSLF's mission to provide a high-quality, effective legal representation for those who share their commitment to fight for the right to own and use property, limited and ethical government, individual liberty, and the free enterprise system. Their vision is to build the preeminent foundation for litigation aimed at securing and protecting constitutional freedoms and the rule of law. And there, this person to whom he is specifically talking about is William Perry Penley. This is more information that I need to look at further. And I'll include it again. I'll include it into the radio log. I have a link here for the live streaming video. Oral arguments and events, which is not occurring at this moment. I believe that this is the, and it might be even before this, the domesticated terrorists executed in black and white. This is an op-ed for myself here from the Pondergander, and the date, where's the date on that? August 23rd, 2019, the domesticated terrorist. I believe this is one I speak more to of the some of this corruption of these federal agencies that I think is pretty prevalent these days. What was this one? I had this tab open. This is a pretty good one. I like this. Away with Words, Extruded in Black and White. I ran a black and white series. And you can find that at reallibertymedia.com/author/vine. That's Vinny. That's me. Okay. Did I already mention this one? The from New York Times. Yeah, I think I did. Political, Domestic Terrorism, Justice Department. There, I think, was something specifically here. I think I've got it open there. Yeah. So this was an arrest. Several civil liberty and Muslim advocacy groups have accused the government of being slow to recognize the deadly threat as investigators focused heavily on Islamic terrorists. But lo and behold, later on comes the domestic terrorists, not the domesticated. I hope you'll find the pun and the difference in that if you go back and listen to my previous broadcast on that I just mentioned. Yeah, Harry Reid says that the people at the Bundy Ranch and those that came to stand with him were domestic terrorists. Sure enough, I was a domestic tourist, I think. Better describe it. And here is from the Oregonian Live. Yeah, that I did share that already from Maxine Bernstein. I think she did a really good job of reporting. She said a little, I think in the beginning, well, towards the end, a whole lot less biased, let me say it like that. She sat, oops, come back here. She sat next to me in court one day, and I was kind of embarrassed with my handwriting and not being such a great speller and all. And I didn't want to be so just like, I'm just like staring down what she's doing over there. She had incredible ability of recall to know what to write down from what she's hearing coming out of the court. She provided all the pertinent information, and so... again, as I've said before, Maxine, to the max, great job. And here this article is relating, is talking about a couple of sheriffs and some other old boys, law officers out there in Oregon, referring back to the beginning of the broadcast, talking about the Malheur wildlife occupation. And I'll pull one paragraph here. Special deputies appointed by Grant County Sheriff Glenn Palmer are later accused Larson of having a role in the intercepting the occupation leaders, and that the retired Oregon State Police commander with connections to the FBI was suspicious in the eyes of the Patriot movement. Even years later, Larson's name appeared on a list of people accused for the cold-blooded murder of Lavoie. So Lavoie Finicum, they put a dead man stop on their forward advance and ended up killing Lavoie. A lot more to that story as well. I've covered that also. Where am I at? Barely to the top of the hour, even though I got started late. I'm only end on time. Here's one more. Kind of related. This is guy, his name is Winston Shrout. He's back in custody in Arizona. He was a prominent tax dodger, they say, and a federal fugitive. A lot of people, Bruce, you said, I went to his trial in Denver. A lot of people trying to oppose corruption of government end up victims and political prisoners or dead. This is the discussion for this. I tell you what, that's really done it. I've run through my tabs. I guess I could tell a better, longer story, and if I keep telling it again and again, maybe I'll get it told. I'll thank y'all for listening, and thanks again to Just Edie and the Bushcraft Mountain man over there with the woolly bully burly beard. Find some fine music, and I'm going to wrap it up. And I reckon I'll be back next week, and we'll pick this up and see what else I can learn about this process going on. Stay tuned tonight. I don't know if Moose Girl's going to be here or if the Grimner's going to be all alone. That comes along at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Dork Table tomorrow, Sunday, the big day. Grimner's got some blues playing for 3 hours while we got Fast Fingers and Trivia, if you have a mind. And Fast Finger come along with play, and then Hal Anthony comes along. 3 p.m. Eastern is noon o'clock out on the left coast in California and Oregon and Washington and the other western states where all this stuff's going on. Hal Anthony, that's the place I recommend you be. Grimner comes back on Monday nights with some leftovers. Tuesday is in a perfect world. It'd be me and old Flasheroonie there. We like to throw stuff back and forth with each other over and see how well it sticks. That's Tuesdays. Wednesdays is wide open. Thank you, Grimmer. Thursday, Poopster and Prince Power Hour at 11 p.m. Thank you, Circle. 11 p.m. Eastern. And back again on Friday. I'll be here at noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern with the Ponder Gander. Taking a look at what matters, especially what involves this the battle on the West out there. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time, folks. Bye-bye.